There are various ways of studying the scripture. For instance, you can decide that you're going to study on a given subject. And that's a good way to study the Bible. You might want to find out what's taught about repentance or faith or the second coming or baptism, Lord's Supper. And then try to find out what the Bible says from the beginning of the Bible to the end on that particular subject. Sometimes I think it's good for us to study a book in the Bible. Try to get the meaning of the entire book, the general drift of the meaning of it. Then, of course, we can study a verse at a time where we allow text to speak to us. Then there's times when we, I think, can, with a great deal of profit, turn to character studies in the Bible. And I'd like to do that tonight. I very often think of the Apostle Paul, and I think of his greatness. He's sometimes referred to as a great apostle to the Gentiles. He was a great servant. He was a man used of God to lead people to know Christ. He was used of the Lord to plant churches in various parts of the world. He lives today to bless us. In his influence, I've often thought that you and I receive benefit from the Apostle Paul's ministry. While he was teaching in Rome, people from Wales came there and heard the gospel and were saved. Went back to Wales, churches, Baptist churches were established there, and then they moved over to America, and you and I heard the gospel because the Apostle Paul was faithful to the trust God had given him. What made him the great man that he was? Now, he wasn't great in stature. He wasn't great in that he was handsome. Not greatness like that, but he was a great man. What contributed to his greatness? I think, first of all, it began with an unforgettable experience with the Lord. He had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He got acquainted with him. He said on one occasion, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul got acquainted with Jesus Christ. He was religious for a good long while, but he didn't know Jesus. Religious, but lost. But he met Jesus, got acquainted with him. It's a tragedy, it's a mistake, terrible mistake, to go through life and not get acquainted with Jesus. Paul, after he was saved, was willing to work. I think that's one of the secrets of his success. He was willing to work. I think Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. I have no doubt in my mind about that. At least that's where he begins to act like a saved man. And when he got acquainted with the Lord, the first thing he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm ready to do what you want me to do." I think if I could just pick out three words that would pretty well describe the attitude of this man of God, it would be, "I am ready." Paul said, "I'm better both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise and unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to them that are at Rome also." I'm ready, he said. He stood like a soldier at attention, ready to take orders from the captain of his salvation, ready to go where God wanted him to go and ready to do what God wanted him to do. Paul said, "I was saved by the grace of God." And he said, "The grace that was bestowed upon me in my salvation was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." Paul said, the grace that was bestowed upon me in the saving of my soul was not a barren gift, but I produced. You know, I think one reason why Paul got a lot done for the Lord is that he did a lot of work for the Lord. He labored. Paul did not allow his past to cripple him. I think there are times when Paul thought of the past and it troubled his mind, but He didn't let it cripple him. He said, one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, he pressed forward. And that's one of the secrets of his success. Another thing, he forgot self. And he was willing to be a servant. Willing to be a servant. Servant of God and servant of others. Paul had a fond introduction. And when he introduced himself, he'd just simply say, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And the word translated servant there is an interesting word. It means a bond man, a bond servant, one that's bought and paid for. So Paul was willing to be a servant. He said, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. He said, I'm all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. The Christian life puts Christ first, others second, and self third. Now, someone might object to that and say, well, I'd like to live a full, happy life, and I don't believe I can do it on that order. Yes, you can. You can be happy if you put Christ first and others second and yourself last. Again, Paul was great because he was not ashamed to witness for Christ both publicly and privately. He said, I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he said, I've taught you publicly and from house to house. Now, hear me, folk. I think we do a good job here at Southwest when people come to the church house. I think we tell them the truth. You know where our weakness is? It's the work that's done outside the church house. If Southwest Missionary Baptist Church builds a great work here, there's going to have to be a lot of work done outside the church building. Now, folk, I know what I'm talking about. I know what the Word of God teaches. I know what experience teaches. And I know that's true. We just can't come and meet here and minister to each other and grow. There must be an outreach. We cannot turn inward. Paul said, I've taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul was willing to testify wherever he was. He said on one occasion, I'm pure from the blood of all men. I think Paul is saying that wherever he was, whenever he had an opportunity to witness, he did it. He witnessed before the small and the great. One time he witnessed to a mob. He witnessed to the council, the Supreme Court of the Jews. He witnessed in synagogues. He witnessed in marketplaces. He witnessed before kings. He witnessed in jail. Wherever Paul was, he was a witness. In the book of Philippians, I think it's interesting to note that when Paul was cast into prison, but when he talks about his imprisonment, he said, what looks like a bad thing for me has turned out to be a furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul was in chains, Paul was in prison, but the gospel was not. Now, that's the kind of preacher he was. He wanted the gospel to be spread, and he was willing to go to jail if it would bring that about. And then again, Paul recognized that the Christian life is a spiritual warfare. And I believe that's one thing that enabled Paul to be the great man that he was. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He told the Ephesian saints, finally he said, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we need to be strong. Paul said, I recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the source and strength of the Christian life. I'm crucified with Christ, he said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things that God calls upon me to do, Paul says. I can do it through Christ who invigorates me. Paul prayed a lot. He did. He prayed much. And he asked others to pray for him. Brethren, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He prayed for Israel. And then he said in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing, meaning in nothing, be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul asked people to pray for him. He said, pray for me, brethren, that the word of the Lord may have free course and abound. Pray for me, he said. Pray that I be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, for not all people have faith in God. Paul was great because he was great in prayer. He gave himself to prayer. He asked that others join him in prayer. Another reason why this man was great was because he was willing to suffer. He was willing to suffer. One time, there was a prophet came down, came into Paul's presence, and took Paul's wide belt used to gird up the flowing garment that Paul was wearing. And this prophet bound his own hands and said to Paul, this is a symbol of what's going to happen to you when you go up to Jerusalem. The Jews are going to bind you and deliver you into the hands of the Gentiles. And those people pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But Paul said, now read Acts 21:13. Paul answered and said, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I don't wonder that a man like that is great. I don't wonder that a man like that is used of God. He said, don't weep and break my heart. I'm ready to go up to Jerusalem. I don't care if they bind me. I don't care if they put me to death. I'm willing to pay the price. I want to serve God. Whatever it takes. Galatians 6:17, Paul says, henceforth let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks. And I think the marks there means scars. I think Paul had literal scars in his body from serving the Lord. He was willing to suffer, willing to endure suffering. You know, when I read in 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 28, the sufferings of Christ, and I do frequently turn and read this, and I want to get down in the dust when I read how this man suffered. He said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, night and a day. I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside all these things, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul was a great man of God because he was willing to suffer. It seems to me that we've reached a place now that we're not willing to suffer very much for the cause of Christ. Not willing. Paul was willing to suffer. Tell you another thing that made him great, he learned the lesson of contentment. And that's a lesson that people need to learn today. It's a restless age. It is. It's a restless age. People want too many things. Paul said he had learned in whatever state he was, and that doesn't mean whether he's in Arkansas or whether he's in Colorado or Texas or California. But he said, I've learned contentment. And he had to learn it. He said, I've learned to get along when I have plenty, and I've learned to get along when I don't have enough. I know what it is to be full. I know what it is to be hungry. I think he kept his desires simple. Listen to him as he writes in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That's a message for all of us today. A message of contentment. We could do a better job serving the Lord if we kept our desires simple. And if we had a deeper concern for spiritual matters and not quite so much concern for things that money can buy. Paul was great because he learned to be contented. He said he learned it. And you and I can learn it. To be content with the things that we have. Paul approached death confidently, willingly, and triumphantly. Here's what he said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. What is it for you to live? For some people to live is pleasure. For some people to live, it's money. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Christ to live in me. And to die, he says, is gain. Living for Christ makes dying profitable. Notice how Paul writes of his submission to God and his triumph. He said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul talks about his departure. Paul, you're getting ready to make a trip. Where are you going? Well, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Paul didn't live in daily fear or bondage to the fear of death. He didn't fear what death could do to his body. He feared nothing about the ravages of death. He said, for we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Have you purposed in your heart to serve God? If not, why not? I think we can learn from the Apostle Paul. When Paul was saved, he wanted to serve God. He purposed in his heart that he would forget self and give himself to the service of God and in helping others. My friend, that's what Christianity is really all about. We need to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and minister to people about us.